Hey, what's up, guys? This is Garrett Shackleford with the Six Guide Tech Podcast. Thank you for joining us. And today we're going to be joined with me, Logan Moe, and our good friend, Wyatt Mallett, who also works along our side here at Mallard Bay. Wyatt, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, man?
Yeah, I'm Wyatt Mallett. I'm one of the founders here at Mallard Bay, as well as our VP of Customer and Industry Success. But before we get started, go ahead and smile for me, Garrett. I don't know if it's the camera or what, but your teeth are looking pearly white today, my friend.
I get that a lot. It's not just the camera. It is not.
That caused his teeth cleaned yesterday.
No, I haven't. I just brush them every once in a while.
I hear that.
Cool. Yeah, so we wanted to bring Wyatt on as the first guest of the podcast to talk about something that's, you know, extremely important to us here at Mallard Bay, which is, you know, one, customer success, and then what we call industry success, and, you know, why it's responsible for both. And, you know, the main thing that I want you guys to understand from, you know, from hearing from Wyatt is, you know, what are our principles and approach when it comes to, you know, making sure that both our customers are happy and that everyone in the industry looks up to us as, you know, a trusted name and brand. So, you know, Wyatt, kind of, you were just on the Big Honker podcast and, you know, you guys talked for like 2.5 hours. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolutely amazing experience. You know, I still can't thank Jeff and Andy enough for allowing me to be on their podcast. That kind of came about through industry success, really, if you think about it. We were at the NWTF show just a few weeks ago in Nashville when a good friend of mine and one of the guys over at Boss, Dirk Sorrels, was like, "Hey, man, you need to have Wyatt on your podcast." Kind of just he I don't know why he said it this way, but he was like, "Man, not to throw you under the bus or anything, but we need to have Wyatt on your podcast. He's a genuine guy," and all these other things. And I was like, "Well, Dirk, you didn't really throw me under the bus. You kind of put me on top of it." You know, kind of just allowing me to kind of tell our story on a platform that is as big as Big Honkers, and talk about many other things that, you know, I truly believe in. It was just a good platform and a good time to talk. But it really allowed us to talk about, you know, anything. I think we talked about my time at LSU, as well as wrestling for like an hour. You know, we kind of just had a good amount of time to kind of just go back and forth and have some good, genuine conversation, really is really what it was about.
Yeah. I mean, so I think the big thing that you kind of preach when it comes to approaching the industry is, you know, being genuine. So what does that mean to you, and why do you, you know, put such a big emphasis on that specifically?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. You know, it's really what you see is what you get. You know, when you're interacting with customers and outfitters and people in the industry and everybody else, it's all about being transparent and genuine. You know, I mean, it's who you hold as yourself and your heart and body and soul and just being that good person you want to be. And a lot of it came from early on in Mallard Bay, when I guess you could say we were kind of like the small fish in the big ocean, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always say, you know, we've had some success. We're not yet successful. We're working our asses off to get there. But we've been elevated from that little dog status into being known in the industry. And it kind of goes back to us trying to work with bigger brands and influencers and people that don't necessarily give you a second look just because you're just like everybody else. You're just somebody throwing something new in the industry. They've been down that road before. They've been burned, whatever else. And through our genuine just sheer will and manpower and all the fire and brimstone we all have as ambitious, you know, young men and women in our company, just keep, you know, banging that door down until it finally opens kind of thing. And you can only really do that through being genuine and being true to yourself and not overpromising and under delivering, really.
Right. Right. And, you know, I think that it's a fair point to mention that, you know, Mallard Bay as a company has evolved to this point. You know, it wasn't always this way, and we, you know, didn't always understand the market as much as we do now. And, you know, through kind of learning even from Garrett and what he did in the industry, we talked about this on previous mm-hmm. podcasts, but like what Garrett was really good at with Bourbon Media is kind of like back to what you said, what you see is what you get. Like yeah. Garrett was approaching outfitters the same way, in his own fashion. Right. And right. that kind of brought that into Mallard Bay, as well as time has elapsed and the brand has gained recognition, where we're now, you know, kind of like we're no longer the little brother in the room in some of these conversations. And so it's allowed us to, you know, have brand partnerships in the industry and give us the opportunity to be in a position of strength and make sure that, you know, we're providing, you know, everything we say we are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it goes back to, you know, one thing my dad told me in those earlier days when I was going after those bigger partnerships and stuff. And it kind of just goes back to the golden rule, right? You know, it was like, you know, never forget how they made you feel at the time and never make anyone else feel the way that you felt, you know. And that goes with anything and everything. But that we just couldn't stay truer to that, man, is really what I have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, Wyatt, one of my favorite parts about this podcast is, you know, we're doing it really, we're not here to just sell something to these outfitters. We're here to provide value and take like tangible tips and tricks that they can take and use them in the field, whether they work with us or not. And you just being around you, going out in the field with you, being in office with you, just seeing how you treat our clients, specifically our outfitters and the sportsmen, you know, it just, it's completely different than anything I've ever seen. And you take an approach that I've heard been broken down over the last month a couple of times of customer success over customer support. And so could you explain what that might look like for an outfitter with having this attitude and mindset when it's coming to working with, you know, sportsmen that might be more difficult or whatever it is? Just in your eyes, how can a outfitter improve their customer service to customer support?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of one of those things. I had a chart up during our summit, and I don't have it in front of me now, but this is based off of kind of just freelancing what I do every day. It's one of those things where out of all the calls that I've got, customer support calls, because to break it down, basically customer support is reacting to a problem, whereas customer success is being proactive so that problem doesn't happen, right? So it's one of those things where all the calls that I've gotten, all the complaints that I've gotten, which has not been many, but all the complaints that I've gotten, they've talked about anything from a dirty lodge to not feeling like they paid for the food they got. You know, they're paying, say, $600 a day, and they were kind of upset when they got boiled hot dogs for lunch or something of that matter, right? And at the very end of all of their complaints, it's always been, oh, and by the way, we also didn't kill birds. So what I mean by that is no one's calling in just saying, hey, I didn't kill any birds, because at the end of the day, it's hunting. Or we've never had a charter that didn't catch any fish. But in the hunting side, we've had times where hunters went out and they hunted and did not succeed on the harvest. But my point is with that is they're not calling in to complain about the hunting. They're not calling in to complain about the fact that there's no birds, because the outstanding stats that we've had from our outfitters is our guides have been trying their asses off to get the birds in. It's nothing on the guides. They're putting out the decoys. They're making the calls. They're moving stuff around. They're doing everything they can do to make it successful. But at the end of the day, you can't make a bird come to your hole. It's just plain and simple. So when the guide or when the customer goes back to the lodge to eat their meals or to hang out, you know, they're expecting that hospitality and that entertainment service. That's what they're truly paying for in a guided hunt or a fishing trip. So some of the things they could do to focus more on the actual success of the customer instead of the service on the back end is, you know, doing the little things, keeping your lodge clean, providing excellent meals for your clients, being able to read the room, you know, staying there for conversation, making those lifelong friends that turn into repeat clients every year. It's just a little things like that. And when you kind of break it down on the perspective of a cost analysis, right, you're looking at things like, oh, man, I'm instead of scouting, I've got to clean the lodge. Well, no, you can hire a maid that one client out of a group of eight will pay for in one hunt for the month. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things where you really got to break down your costs and see, OK, if I can afford a client or I can afford a chef to come in, or I'm sorry, afford a maid or afford a chef to come in or something of that matter. Look at Joel beating his chest in the background. For those of you listening, we did just close our Series A investment round. So we're all very excited to take the capital that we just got in and better increase all of your success on GuideTech and Mallard Bay by using that those funds for further development and stuff that for the platform. So we're trying to hold in our excitement for this podcast. All of my notifications are going crazy. It's just the little things, man. It's really the little things and providing a level of service that you want to be provided if you were on the same hospital.
Well, so it sounds like one, an ass whooping in the field will magnify the things in the lodge or the things outside of the hunt that aren't up to par. It'll, you know, they can fixate on those things. But let's say for an outfitter, like they've gotten to that point, they just got their ass handed to them. And then that client is being picky and it might be after the hunt. I don't know if clients usually address this stuff during the trip or if like they're reaching out to you after, but how could I, now that it's turning into a customer service, it's too late. What are some good practices for an outfitter to try to keep that client to come back to them for next, to come back next year if they want them coming back next year?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those, sorry, I'm gonna turn my fan off. I'm not sure if I'm getting back in.
You're
from
good.
That. But yeah, you know, some of those things could be rolling over a deposit. They could be offering a trip discount. They could be different things like that. And to be honest with you guys, you know, a lot of these guys that call in, they're not so much looking for a discount for next year or looking for a free trip or anything like that. They're more looking for the commitment of the outfitter to improve for everyone else. Because everyone that I've gotten calls about or all the customers that call in, they've said that. They've said, look, guys, you know, I don't want to badmouth anybody. I don't want to leave a public review. I don't want to do all these things, but I want to talk to you guys because they know that we work hand in hand with our outfitters. And just a commitment to being better is all it really is. And I mean, if I've gotten as little as just sweep the floor, you know, you got muddy boots coming in and stuff like that. And hell, most of the time it's a client's fault. You know, they're walking through their rooms in muddy boots instead of taking them off at the door.
For sure.
So it doesn't really matter where the blame is, or the fault is. It's just going the extra mile to provide that stellar service.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, yeah. Sorry, I've been a little bit quiet. I was trying to contain my excitement. the thing that I've seen you do the best is give the outfitter the tough love they need to better improve their experience. Right. Yeah. And we've talked about it before that it's the little things that matter. And, you know, ultimately there's a very stark difference between a 5-star lodge and 5-star hunting, you know, and yes, there are overlap in times in which you have both 5-star hunting and a 5-star lodge, but managing client expectations is an important part of the process. And so, you know, anytime you're handling a client that has an issue with a payment or, you know, they had an issue with an outfitter, they really are just wanting to be heard, right? Because they were either not able to give that feedback directly to the outfitter, or when they did give that feedback to the outfitter, they felt like they were not heard. And that's normally where the issue lies, based on what I've seen. It's kind of one of those moments in life where you're like, well, you know, why did this go poorly? Why did it, you know, what went wrong here? You know, did I select a bad outfitter? Was it my fault? You know, was it their fault? Like, I should have done more research. And typically it's really a miscommunication of expectations. And I think that's what we've learned the most over probably the last year in 2023 is that, you know, through millions and millions of dollars in bookings going through the platform and us and those things that we've learned, we continue to put back into practice each and every day. Right. And we're not just continually learning. And that's what we want our outfitters to embrace, too, is continuing to learn how they can improve their operation, because no one's perfect. Right. And the job is, you know, you want to get as close to perfect as possible, but you can't be perfect. Right. There's no such thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're all students at the end of the day. You know, we're always learning, always taking advice from people younger and older. You know, none of us are perfect, and that's what's leaves room for improvement and success, right? And you know, one thing specifically I'll say too about whether it be service or success, it means so much to a client about the actual owner of the outfit, right? You know, if something goes wrong, you know, take that ownership and go out and say, hey, you know, this is my show. I run it. This is what happened. This is what we're going to do to fix it. And then ultimately fix it. It is really just kind of plain and simple where I'll leave that.
Right. Go ahead, Garrett.
Why? It is kind of shifting gears, but it's still talking about the customer success. I think just with all of us working with Jason, we've kind of talked about this in a different podcast where we're working with Jason to help build that brand. And one of the key pieces is customer service. And in our, you know, company, it's customer success, and it's you. It's something that's building lifetime value with clients. And I know it's something that outfitters can grab onto as well, but I just want to hear from you if you have any, you know, stories or experiences where you've noticed firsthand that, like, okay, you know, marketing brings in stuff, sales closes people, operation helps keep people on, but customer success saves clients. And I think it like deepens that relationship with that client so much that we're going to get lifetime value that we couldn't get in these other departments, because you're going above like what our service is. It's going beyond like what we, our core offer is. And it's like truly separating us from our competitors when you're going out and doing these things that you do. So I don't know if you have any experience where, you know, you came in, you saved the day because of your core values and how you approach this, and it turned into a success for our company and potentially for the outfitter as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely, man. You know, it's, of course I won't say any names.
Yeah, no details,
but you know, I mean, there has been times, yeah, you know, there has been times where people called in, you know, very upset or frustrated or you know, they felt misconstrued or something like that in the matter. And really all it takes is a conversation and just really lining out what their confusions are, what their frustrations are, talking about, you know, where we went wrong, or, you know, anytime a customer does something wrong, I mean, you know, we're going to take the blame on that. But it's really just kind of lining it out and finding the best resolution possible amongst all ends. And, you know, I mean, I tell everybody this, you know, it's a part of being genuine. You know, it's working with them, and working with them is the main goal here. It's a true partnership between us and our outfitters. Because for us to be successful, our outfitters have to be successful too. And so that's really the main point, is just being genuine, lining everything out, you know, drawing everything up and figuring it out hand in hand. And, you know, like you said, bringing on Jason, and really lining out that brand that is Mallard Bay, and just kind of goes to show you with all the other companies that he's worked on, you know, Yeti, Sitka, yep. Gerber, the list goes on, and just showing how important that customer service, customer success really is. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing about Mallard Bay that I think is so important with our customer success, is that the fact that you call that Mallard Bay support line, it rings directly to me. You know, one of the founders of the company, and I'm a real person talking to you. You know, you're not going to call a call center. You're not going to call someone that you maybe couldn't understand over the phone, and you get even more frustrated. Or maybe that has weird hours in another country. You know, we're USA bred and born, or born and bred, and everything else. And that's what you're going to get at Mallard Bay is a genuine conversation from someone, you know, in a real office working towards the success of you and everyone else, you know, day in and day out.
Yeah. I mean, I think the words you say carry a lot of weight in the conversations that you have. And, mm-hmm. but I think you understand kind of why some situations you need to take more seriously than others. So like, what can you tell us, like a more lighthearted story about, you know, maybe how a customer or an outfitter, you know, maybe screwed something up and it was a big miscommunication and the customer wasn't mad, the outfitter wasn't mad, or, you know, genuinely just a lighthearted story about, you know, some of the industry, something like, you know, how you build a relationship with Wade and Migra, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, we can talk about Wade. So the relationship with Wade goes all the way back to the very early days of Mallard Bay, and this is in July of 2021. So before we launched, before Guide Tech was a thing, before it was more employees of the company other than me, Logan, Joel, and Tam. And I was in Hawaii on vacation, and I was calling outfitters, basically selling the idea of what Mallard Bay was going to be. And one of those calls, in fact, I mean, I was waking up every morning at 5 o'clock because it was already, it's 5 hour difference from Hawaii to Central Time in the stateside. So I was calling everybody, and one person I talked to was the head guide at Jelks Bayou Lodge up in North Louisiana, owned by Andrew Weisman, who is a good friend of ours now. We've all been hunting with him. We spent a lot of time with him. You know, he even welcomed me and JP into his home for dinner with his family and all that kind of stuff. I mean, just hell of a guy and absolutely one of our first and still cheerleaders of Mallard Bay. And Wade was a friend that grew up with Andrew all around the same area and did some work over at Jelks and stuff like that. And I met him for the first time at Jelks on a hunt. Did a lot of filming for Mallard Bay, quick feature stuff like that. And through there kind of just kept the relationship up. Just stayed friends with Wade. I don't think Wade was not working with Migra at the time. He was doing his video stuff freelance, and he was also working with Sound Gear. So, you know, you start to see him at expos and stuff like that, hanging out with him. And then when he started working for Migra, you know, the talk sort of working about, they're talking about working together and different stuff like that. And now, I mean, dude, me and Wade talk all the time. You know, I mean, we still 24/7, him and I will text or talk or anything else. And if Wade, you're listening to this, your boy still owes me $200. So I'm trying to get that back. I know we talked about that. That's kind of a funny story that results in success. I went on a bachelor trip. I put my buddy, Zach Watson, he played baseball at LSU. He still plays for the Orioles organization. But we went on this bachelor trip and we went goose hunting over at, Prairie Bomb Outfitters in Amarillo. And we had a great first day. Everything was great. And the birds ended up moving out and we didn't go on the second hunt because customer success. Hey guys, look, you know, the hunt's not going to be great. Your deposits will roll over to next year. No problem at all. And long story short, one of the guys in the group refused to pay me because we didn't hunt. So anyway, Wade, I need my money.
Well, you know, it's not the only one that owes you money. You know,
that's true. Yeah, in the world of helping people, you gotta remember you're not always gonna get that help back.
You gotta give to get. You know?
That's right.
Honestly, I think we've kind of touched on a lot of the points that we want to hit on. But you know, for those of you that are listening, and you know, want to start building a relationship with a company and talk to the right person, you know, Wyatt's that guy. And you know, he is exceptional at maintaining and managing a relationship, whether you know you want to connect us with a brand, you are a brand, you want to connect us with an outfitter, or you know, you just want to become, you know, a good friend of the company. Wyatt's the person to reach out to. He certainly has earned his spot and his keep since, you know, being a co-founder, being here since the very beginning. And you know, I'm happy to see him evolve to the role he's been in, you know, for the last, probably six to 12 months. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, man. I mean, I could just echo everything that you said. Watching Wyatt after coming on to this company and just seeing how he's evolved into the role that he plays, I mean, it all just makes perfect sense. This dude is a killer at keeping up with the relationships. Like, he's always on the phone. I swear his voice changes just a little bit. It's kind of nice to listen to him while he's doing his customer service calls. I'm not going to lie. So Wyatt, just keep it up, man. You've been crushing it. I appreciate you coming on and just sharing your wisdom over the last couple of years of building that up and just all your experience. And I hope that outfitters, y'all take this to heart, what you've learned. Wyatt talks to so many outfitters, so many of our clients, and has just been learning since day one. So just take that with all that with a grain of salt and just go and apply it out into your business. But Wyatt, you got anything to say before you hop off, man?
No, man. I mean, look, I can't thank y'all enough for the compliments and just looking forward to having more success. And if anybody listening wants to get in touch with me, easiest way is Wyatt@MallardBay is my email. You call our customer support line, rings directly to me. You know, if you want my personal number, I'll absolutely give it to you after you email me. That's no problem at all. I mean, hell, I'm one of those guys, man. You know, anytime somebody calls me, about 99.9% of the time, I'm going to answer on the first or second ring. So give me a shout And yeah, go Guy.
100% yep. back that statement. But guys, thank y'all so much for listening to the Six podcast from Guy Tech. If you enjoyed it, leave a 5-star review, share it with other people, subscribe, and we'll see you next time here on the Guy Tech podcast.